the ethics of the fathers. And the question is, however, to understand its meaning. Now, you're up to Beis. I think we finished Aleph. Correct. Now, Susi Yoglatar we did. Right, we did that already, didn't we? Aleph we did already. Well, we did enough in Aleph anyways. Okay. Now, I don't remember if we did Susi Yoglatar. But, Susi Yoglatar. Exeris the country. Can we do Susi Yoglatar? I'll do this one prayer. I don't remember if we taped it. We'll try to do it by recall. If anybody remembers, just take a few minutes. Then we'll go into the other points, all right? Go further. Yes, it says asus yagwatera. So it says mishmati mishmati asu mishmeres lemishmati. So we ask the question. It says, and then he Yerashi says kolaim asu mishmeres lemishmati kadesh lo yovel de isit shaltera. So the question we asked was, but let's say according to the Rambam that holds that if you violate the Rabbanan, you're also a deraisa, because the Torah says that you have to listen to the Rabban. So, Alpi HaTorah Sheyerucha, right? Leisoser, leisoser. If you make things worse, you would make you making Eivir and Avera, you make them being Eivir and another Avera. And even if you say that the answer is that the nature of the Isser is different, you see, but in that's only in how halachically it's different. Halachically it's different. Sefer Rabban Lekula, the Einish is different. But in terms of the violation, it's the same chiyuv. Like the Rav mentioned a lot of times, that the chiyuv to keep there's no difference in the chiyuv between the Rabban and the Raisa. The chiyuv to keep the Rabban is just as great as to keep the Raisa. There's no difference. It's not an inferior chiyuv. The chiyuv, the obligation is the same. But the halacha, so far as they have different halachas that concern the Rabban, is different. But the chiyuv of asiyah, the chiyuv of mitzvah is exactly the same. Okay, so what are you making things better? If you're making people are going to violate anyways the Rabban. They won't keep the Raisa, they won't keep the Rabban. You see? So we answered like this. One answer we said was that there's a difference between the structure of the Rabbanas and the structure of the Raisas. The structure of the Raisas are conceptually structured. Like for instance, you have Malacha and Shabbos. So it's structured in a conceptual fashion. That's the deraisa. The halacha, you're not allowed to be keitzer. So there's a specific, definitive form to what ketzira actually is. You see? Now, however, the Rabbanan recognized that Rabbanan or basa b'chalav. What is basa b'chalav deraisa? Basa b'chalav deraisa has a specific form. Midaraisa actually. Midaraisa actually, if you can actually cook, it's possible to cook meat and milk together midaraisa, and it wouldn't be basa b'chalav. If you'd go to Yellowstone Park and cook it in one of those geysers, you see, hot springs. Why? Because according to halacha, that's not defined as bishul. Bishul has a specific halachic definition. It has to be either eish. That's not called eish. So therefore, you can cook basar b'chalav midaraisa. You could also have basar b'chalav even on a regular fire midaraisa. If a behema dies, you simply take the milk out, because that milk doesn't have enough. Since the milk wasn't inside the behema, wasn't milked during the behema's life, you cut open the udders, you take the milk out, you make cheese, and you could make yourself a cheeseburger. Midaraisa would not be basar b'chalav. And Raisa was Bas B'chalav, because the Torah is formulated specifically in terms of definitive, precise formulations. So therefore you can do many things which it would appear would be a violation, but conceptually it's not a violation. Right? Now, since people by nature are that conceptual, people don't distinguish. So therefore the Chachamim had to make certain takanas. The takanas the Chachamim made was in terms of the frame of reference of the average person, in order that they shouldn't violate the Raisa. So we're not speaking about a person who's going to violate. A person's going to violate mitzvahs, of course. You give him another mitzvah, violate that mitzvah too. But it means the nature of the frame of reference is a different one than the Rabbanus and the Rises. And that's why that was the mitzvah of Asus Yogotera. Asus Yogotera means to, if you see the door isn't ready. Isn't a conceptual door, and they're not ready to distinguish between the halachic formulations in the Torah. So then you have to spell it out to them in their own terms. Otherwise they'll violate the Derisa. In their own terms, they'll keep it. That's the Pshat HaSus Yogotera. Okay? You have the people make a mistake, they'll think it's the difference of Shus, Shabbos, Shus, regular Shus, so you have, Besarof is the simplest one, Besarof. Besarof is, Midrash is not Basar, right? Besarof B'cholof. You can't eat chicken and milk. Chicken's not considered Basar Midrash. You see, because most people aren't ready to distinguish the conceptual differentiations. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't need any of these takanas. A person who's a gadol doesn't need these takanas. But these takanas are made from Hamon on they were made. But they're necessary in order to preserve Asiyas HaMitzvahs. So that's the mitzvah of Asus Yogotera. Okay. Yeah, the second answer we gave to the first question. The question was that what are you going to gain? There'll be more of Eris now. Make their bonds. Second Shabbos said was like this, that in Tayag Mitzvahs is a certain system of perfection. Now God worked out the system to ensure that man has the greatest possible perfection. Now the system is completed really with the perfection of the with the Shmiras HaTayag, so that even though the person might violate a Drabbanon, it is better for him to violate a Drabbanon than a Deraisa. Why is it better for him to violate a Drabbanon than a Deraisa? Same Chiyuv HaMitzvah. The answer is, in terms of Chiyuv HaMitzvah, you're right. But in terms of perfection, he still is better because he has at least the perfection that one achieves from the Tayag. You see? That one achieves from the Tayag. So it is better, so therefore, while in terms of Chiyuv HaMitzvah, you can't say there's any less obligation, you see? But in terms of the perfection, is an inherent perfection in Tayag Mitzvahs. Inherent perfection, so that perfection he'll retain. So Tayag is still different than the rest in Drabbanans. Tayag is the absolute objective system necessary for the perfection of a man. In Drabbanans, if a person violates Drabbanan, I mean, and not to make it light, but at least the perfection of the Tayag will be intact. See? That's different. So that's Asus Yogotera. Okay. Always be lacking my sasa. It's true. Always be lacking my sasa. Question is, according to the Ramban, you're not over lay sasa when you're over the Rabban. So, but the question is, why? What is it any better? He'll still be over lay sasa. So he'll still be breaking Tayag. But the thing is, according to Ramban, he was not ever less whenever he's ever the Rabbanon. So it's better to ever the Rabbanon. So therefore, Asus Yogotera would make sense. And even according to the Rambam, it says you ever less Sasser, but definitely the Lach is a person has a choice to be ever the Rice of the Rabbanon. Everybody agrees it should be ever, you should choose the Rabbanon. Let's say, see, Rei Adam Sheyitzrim is Gabra Love, he should better violate the Rabbanon than the Rice. I'll be ever less Sasser. And you see, it's not the same. Okay, the man mentioned the difference, which I believe is valid. You see, Leisosur is the only halacha which is really reflexive. It reflects upon the Torah itself. You shouldn't turn away from the way that they interpret the Torah itself, which means it's introduced as a safeguard for the Torah. So it wasn't introduced inherently as a as one of the elements of perfection. So therefore, if a person violates the Lesosar, he is not lacking in the perfection of Tayag. He's lacking in the safeguard of the perfection of Tayag, which is not the same. Halachically, however, it wouldn't resolve the problem, because you'll still have to say that it's just as bad to be ever the Rabban as a Deraisa. Could be the Ram holds that way. I mean, that's the Ramban in the beginning of Sefer HaMitzvahs, Sherish HaRishon. Okay, that's something that has to be thought into. tzadikai mishiorei knesek deila. Now, we said already why I asked us to introduce who the person is, who the people are. All right? Who are your oimer? Al shloisha devarim ha'olam oimeid. Al ha'teirah v'al ha'avoyda v'al gemilis ha'sarim. Okay? Everybody say, knesek deila. Okay? Of course, in general, what it means, al shloisha devarim ha'olam oimeid. These are all nice things. I mean, nobody's going to argue with them. Teirah, ha'avoyda, and gemilis ha'sarim. But when you say ha'olam oimeid, you have to explain it a little more than that. You have to be able to show me why precisely these three things and why anything else. Let's say I throw in Allah Shabbos. Al-Dal-Dvarim, Al-Amayimed. Al-Tara, Al-Avayda. Yeah, Al-Hay-Dvarim, Al-Amila, you could say. I mean... Okay, so then say, well, I say, say one thing. Al-Dal-Varech, Al-Amayimed. Al-Asiyas, Al-Amitzvahs. I mean, I'll base Dvar Marla on my maid. I'll Talmud Tara Vala Mitzvahs.
Okay?
Dvar Marla on my maid. It's Kayim. It's two Gisos. I'll Adin Vala Emes Vala Shalim. Shnem Emes Mishpah Shalim Shifta Bershara. I'm right. Okay. Yeah, it's a different story. Okay.
The rabbi makes a story.
Yeah? Why these three? That's the question. That's the question. Why these three? Alright? One is Tara. Tara means what? Talmud Tara. Plain and Pasha. Learning. Second one is Aveda. What is Aveda? What is Aveda? What's the meaning of Aveda? Karbonis. Karbonis. Rashi says Karbonis. And the Rambam also says Karbonis. And the Ram Yemer b'chach shebachachma via tera milas hamidais v'enk milas chasadim u'bishmiras mitzvah tera hema karbonis tia ha'smadas tikin ha'olam v'sidu mitziuso al ha'derach ha'sholem. Alright? Yep, that's a funny thing. The Rambam has a funny lashon over here. He says, one is chachma, that's Tera, okay, Tera is chachma. Now, then he jumps to Gemilas Chasadim, which is what, which he calls, he universalizes, says Milas Amides in general, Milas Amides. And then he says Ubishmiras Mitzvois HaTera, and he says Heim HaKarbonis. I mean, what is this? If it's shmiras and mitzvahs, that's not just kabbanis. There's more mitzvahs than just kabbanis. Tia smadas tikkun oilam v'sidus tisodera hasholem. We have to understand the Rambam. I mean, Rashi just says plain kabbanis. That's all. V'alavaydo shabes ha-migdash. Mesh metzinu b'tainis. El molim ha-modas le'niskaimu shemayim v'aretz. But the Rambam, somehow or other, tries to say two things at the same time, two interpretations. He wants to say that it's kabbanis on one time, and then he says it's also mitzvahs. Just to make sure somebody get the kapach translation. All right. So kol mitzvahs. What is hamer kabbanis? What is hamer kabbanis? It's a funny Rambam. You'll see. They say kabbanis. Neshama panis v'saino. That's it.
No, they all say
kabbanis are not. Kabbanis are not extinct since the mikdash is gone. Kabbanis is still alive today. The only thing is that you can't do it. It's only the peh. Neshama panis v'saino. But kabbanis still exists today. Okay.
What?
Today you have the role is what? Is Tfilas HaMusaf. Tfilas Musaf. Tfilas Musaf is all Neshama Paras Vasena. That's why there's no Tashluma for Musaf. If you get Musaf, you can't daven two Musafs. Because it's actually a Chafetz Shel Karbon. So Karbonis exists still today. You should know that. Karbonis is not extinct. Karbonis exists today. Okay.
But anyway.
Then Bald asked a good question too. Happens sometimes. He said like this. He says that it says that chachma is one thing, and mila, and then you have the other mila is gemilas chasadim. Kol Ram is milas hamides, perfection of the mides. So bald asked, it's already all inclusive. It's already it includes everything. What's left? What's left? If you have chachma, is there any other perfection left to man? If you have his intellectual perfection, you see. And you have his ethical perfection. What's left? What more is there? So what do you need these, what does the Rambam need this third thing? Since the Rambam universalizes Gemilas Chasadim, and he says Gemilas Chasadim means, implies the total perfection of the human being in terms of his midos, his character perfection, ethical perfection, what else do you need? I mean, so what's missing? So what do you have to have kabbanis for? Okay? That's a good question. Chasadim. Rashi learns Gemilas Chasadim differently. Rashi says, "Val gemilas chasodim." I think Rabbi Gamliel learns somewhere is Rashi. Gemilas chasodim means like this: Malve ma'isav la'oni, a person who lends his money to a poor individual. Okay, shehu gadol me'atzdaka. That's even bigger than giving him tzedakah. A lot of people like to know that, like to hear that. Instead of giving tzedakah, so you lend them the money, you get it back, and you're a big mitzvah. Right? Why should you give it to him and tell him to forget about it? It's true, he's a bad risk, but the fact is, you might get it back. You know what I mean? So you don't have to say goodbye to the money, and it's a big mitzvah. Say, look, I'm lending you this money. Right? Malva ma'isa, lefishu godl me'atzdaka, lefishu enim is bayish. Void, she gemilas chasadim noyeg bein ba'ashirim bein ba'aniyim. Gemilas chasadim exists by rich people and by poor people. Gemilas chasad. Because chasad means, gemilas chasadim means when a person needs something. A person needs something. Yeah, so a rich person doesn't necessarily mean that he has any less needs than a poor person. On the contrary, many times a rich person might have more needs than a poor person. Might have different emotional needs. He doesn't have a financial need. But that's only one need in life. There are many, many needs a person has. So that, Gemilas Chasadim applies to Ashirim as well as to Aniyim. Has nothing to do. I mean, Asher just takes care of one need. There are many other needs in life. Okay. So he says, yep. Bein b'meisim, bein b'chayim. Bein b'guf, bein b'mamaynai. That's Gemilas Chasadim. Gemilas Chasadim is also by Mason too. Mason Machai, what do you call it? Beisavol, the Rambam says the same thing. Ben Beguf Ben Mamaynai, physically, and with his money. Mashen Kain Tzedakah, because Tzedakah is different. Tzedakah is only with his money. It's not Begufai. Shkemai Shomer, Gedela Gemilas Chasadim Yeser Menat Tzedakah. See? So Chazal say. And like the pasuk says, "Chesed Hashem Eilam Vadoilam Al Yireyav," "Kiamarti Olam Chesed Yiban Lamelcha Shebeshvil HaChesed Olam Eskayim." Okay, you see that Chesed is a thing which is more important. Gemilas Chasadim is more important than Tzedakah. That's what Rashi says. Of course, there's one big question that we should ask on this Rashi. What's the question? And on the Chazal too, Chazal say that Gemilas Chasadim is bigger than Tzedakah. What's the question you have to ask on that? Funny Chazal, what's the question? No. The question is that the Gemilas Chasadim is really really a genus, and Tzedakah, isn't Tzedakah really a species of Gemilas Chasadim? I mean, what is Tzedakah? A poor man needs something, so I help him out, you see? So isn't that really a species of Gemilas Chasadim? Isn't that a new thing altogether? Type of Gemilas Chasadim. So the genus is Gemilas Chasadim. Under Gemilas Chasadim, you have a species called Tzedakah. And Tzedakah is a new thing altogether. It's not Gemilas Chasadim. You're not helping him. What kind of nonsense is this? Person comes, he's poor, he has no clothes. You take him in your house, you feed him, you clothe him. That's not Gemilas Chasadim. And why? Because you're giving it away to him. I mean, like the question we asked before. It comes out that if I lend him money, so then I have Gemilas Chasadim. If I give it to him, it's not Gemilas Chasadim anymore. What kind of sense does that make? It's impossible. See? So you must say that Gemilas Chasadim is the Gemilas Chasadim is kerlel. Everything. And Tzedakah is inside Gemilas Chasadim. So it's crazy to say that the genus is greater than the species. How can you make a statement like that? You're going to tell me you say that the genus is greater than the species. You say it's like saying the mitzvahs of the Torah are bigger than Trum. And of course, there's more. I mean, it has to be that way. What kind of a comparison is it? Can't compare the two. And Gemilas Chasadim includes Tzedakah too. So you're telling me, so if you, what? Yeah, right, but the genus. Has to be, I mean, Gemil Chesed, Chesed. I mean, Chesed, if you don't give a person something to eat, when he's hungry, that's not chesed. I mean, you give him something. Why is that? I mean, how could it not be? Gemilas chesed by definition, that's what it means. Question was what? What's the first question we have? What is the three? How do the three work? Then when we get down to the what the three are, we have machlekes. According to the Rambam, you have machlekes really, well, the Rambam you have machlekes no one argues what Torah is. That's the same. All right. The only machlokes you have is what Gemilas Chasodim is and what Avodah is. The Rambam is a little bit unclear about Avodah. He calls it, on the one hand, Shmiras HaMitzvahs, and then he says, these are the Kabbalahs. Funny lashon. We don't know what he means. Which way is it? Is it Shmiras HaMitzvahs or is it the Kabbalahs? All right. And then that's the Rambam. Then you have Rashi says it's just Kabbalahs. Then you have Machlekes about Gemilas Chasodim. According to the Rambam, Gemilas Chasodim means total perfection of the ethical part of man. And according to Rashi, Gemilas Chasodim seems to mean just plain pshat, Gemilas Chasodim. You help somebody out. And the question is, according to Rashi, he says that helping somebody out is bigger than giving tzedakah. And tzedakah not helping him out? It's crazy. Tell me, it's better to help somebody than to give him tzedakah. And what's the tzedakah? You're not helping him. B'chlam asayim mana. I mean, if you're giving him tzedakah already, you're helping him. Okay? Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Chachma has to be God. If it's not God, it's not Chachma. Of course, the world is God. I mean, it's Yisayid. Yisayid HaChachma, says Rama Sarov. There's no Chachma without God.
You're right, it was the wrong question.
Chachma really is the elements. You have three elements here, right?
Yeah.
You have the Torah is no problem, Avodah is a machlokes, and Gemilas Chasodim. I think we should clarify the. Let's take the last question, Gemilas Chasodim first, because we have to clarify what are the elements before we can see how the structure is dependent upon three elements. So we have to clarify what the elements are first. All right, that should be our priority. Okay. Now the question we asked was, how can you say the Gemilas Chasodim is better than Tzedakah? Right? Okay. What do you say? When we say like this, when we say that the world is kind of, I mean, on three things, right? It must mean that these three things have to be an important part, of course, of the makeup of man in general. When we say, like the Rambam says, V'sidim tziyesu al derech ha-sholem. So the Derech HaSholem that results, it's a social thing, but the Derech HaSholem that results socially can be analyzed individually, because the social scene is nothing more, there's no basis, we're not assuming basis for some theoreticians want to say that there's a social instinct, like a herd instinct, that when people get together, they produce a new instinct which does not come into existence individually. That's a far-fetched thesis. They're saying that actually the group, the social situation, is nothing more but a situation which is made up of the individual components. It's a conglomerate of individual components. But it's not qualitatively differentiated. It's quantitatively differentiated. So we have to understand. If we understand the individual, we'll understand the society. See? All right? We're operating on that premise. If we understand the individual, we'll understand the society. Not that there's a new instinct that appears in the social, the herd instinct. Right. It's made up of... The society is made up of many individuals.
Herd instinct.
Reach their peak, and then they level off. They go down. So he said that the reason why this happens is the same thing. It's the same thing as you find with an individual. An individual also reaches peak and goes down. Why? Because the peak usually is when he satisfies his fantasies. As long as he didn't satisfy his fantasies, he keeps rising. He's young, he's aggressive, he's ambitious, you see? When he reaches the point, once he reaches the point that he gets what he wants, he satisfies all those fantasies, and he starts realizing that those fantasies really weren't that great, you see? Then he's on the decline. He's on the decline. You see? He's on the decline. Well, it depends. It depends. See? Sometimes he depends how much fantasy he has. But he slows down. He slows down. He doesn't work. Even a person who's successful, it's unusual to find a person who's working just as vigorously and ambitiously when he's 60 as he is when he's 30. It's not because he's older, not because he's weaker. This person who's 60 can still work just as hard. It's not a physical thing. What happens is there's a psychological decline because he's already reached his point, you see, and then there isn't anything you need. Isn't that great, usually? Now, that's what happens with a society, too. See, when this country first started, for instance, they didn't have anything, they didn't have liberty. They felt depression. So there's a tremendous desire that if they have the freedom, that they'll have everything. This is it. Of course, living under oppression is very difficult. Restrictions. Couldn't take it. So therefore, what they had a tremendous... There was a fantasy, except it's a mass fantasy involved. And once they have this liberation, then it's going to be... they'll be happy forever and ever. Just like a person has. If he's in jail, he thinks if he gets out, he'll do everything he can to get out, you see? But once it actually occurs, you see... And then this takes place, and then there's a decline because there isn't enough motivation. The ambition is gone, except it's a mass ambition that's gone. That's why you have the fall of that's why empires work in cycles. You have the fall of Rome, different empires. What happens is the build up is because of the like a person's youth. Same thing like an individual, except it works in mass also. Countries also have it. Then what is a country basically? It's a lot of individuals. Once the people have the, they satisfy their fantasies. They have what they were working for. They were striving for, and it starts declining. This country is in such a state now. Okay. Yes. But basically, what I want to point out is that the individual and the group. The difference, really, between the individual and group is a numerical difference. But basically, the group isn't a new phenomena. The group is made up of individuals. So the group is made up of. Okay. What's magic? Yeah. I'm attempting to prove it. I'm not proving it from there. You're right. I'm not attempting to prove it. I'm just saying that this is... I'm assuming this premise. That the individual and the group are the same. That there is no herd instinct. I'm just giving an example. But I'm not really... The reason why people act differently in crowds... It's not because it's a totally new phenomenon. It's because a certain part of the individual makeup has been exaggerated. You see? A certain phenomena. This has been shown psychologically. You see? The phenomena, for instance, when you have a... let's say you have a situation where you have a leader, and then everybody falls in line, like you had in the case of Nazi Germany, Mach Schumann. So that phenomena is not really a new phenomena. You see? The phenomena exists individually also. But the phenomena takes hold, expresses itself in a specific way in the group. But it's not a new phenomena. Because individually a person also has his idols. But in an individual situation, it's not as reinforced. You see? So therefore it's loose. It's held together more loosely. So therefore, he has his idols. He'll have the president, or his father, or whoever it is. You see, the society in general, to a degree, it's working also. The phenomenon is there, but the attachment, it's not as emphasized. And there are also individuals who do live such a life as they do as the group themselves. There are individuals who live a life that's just as structured as the lives of practically all individuals in that group situation. You see? Yeah. But that individual is one who is tied to this phenomena to a greater degree than other individuals. Whereas in the group situation, you're going to tie everybody to that particular facet of the human personality. But that facet of the human personality exists individually too. It's not a new phenomenon. Yes. Brian, see, it's not a new phenomenon. I'll tell you a good book to read about this. Therefore, I'm telling you this, that if you understand the individual man, you'll be able to understand this phenomenon. Because even though this phenomenon is a group phenomenon, because it's Allah Olam Ayimed, but we have to look at it in terms of understanding the individual man. Okay? All right. Now, man, let's understand. Olam Ayimed. Now, in man, you have like this. You have one part is his intellect, right? Okay, so we could understand the importance of that, it's necessary. In order for man to exist, he has to exercise his intellectual ability, yeah. Alrighty? Now, what is the second thing? Second thing you have is Aveda, right? And the third thing is Gemilas Chasadim, okay. See, the thing is, what the Maimer really wants to tell us is that man is in a certain state. What is the Maamar saying, really? Man is in a certain state that he would actually, he would be destroyed if it wasn't for these three things. Okay? That's what it means. You have to have these three things. Without these three things, it falls apart. Which means that man's inherent nature is one which would be destructive. Okay? All right. Now the question is, how do these three things merge to remove him from this destruction? Okay? All right. But the three things you have to realize, these three things, when we're discussing these three things, we're discussing it over in a social scene, over a lot of people, because it's Olam Haimeid. All right? Okay. Now the thing is like this. That basically what the Maamar is saying is like this. That if it wasn't for these three things, the destructive forces of man would be unleashed and there would be no human existence. Alright? Now, what are the three? Terah, what is Terah basically? Intellectuality. Now, not just, now when it says Terah, it's not just, it doesn't mean just factual or practical knowledge when it says Terah. Like the Rambam says, he says Chachma. It means Chachma per se, which means basically that what? How does Chachma help in Kiyam Olam? Beyond the practical. How does Chachma help in Kiyam Olam beyond the practical? Because I can understand that you have to have practical Chachma, you have to know how to make cars, you have to know how to make stoves, you have to know how to make a house, you have to know how to build the things that are necessary for man's survival, human survival. Yes, right. But beyond that point, where does Chachma come into the picture? Keeps his intact. The answer is that it removes man away, it removes man from his aggressive drives. Because through directing his psychic energy, psychological energy, to Chachma, you see, so therefore what happens? So therefore, it takes away the energy from the other areas, Because we're not talking now about Chochmah, the purpose of... Chochmah we spoke about many times as being the purpose of the human life. You see, that's true. But here Shimon HaTzadik is not discussing that. He's discussing it from the standpoint of Kiyam Olam. See? Of Kiyam Olam. It's a different standpoint. Now, in terms of Kiyam Olam, you see, so why is Chochmah involved in Kiyam Olam? Chochmah is involved in Kiyam Olam because... when the person is involved in Chachma, so it removes his drives from other areas. Right? So therefore, and Chachma is really a harmless area in terms of Ben Ola Havera. You see? Like somebody one time said, a philosopher one time said, he said, a person should never worry. Why? Because the only thing of value really in life is virtue. And nobody can take that away from you. You see? So you really have nothing to worry about. Basically, what it means is... what?
Different type of work.
What it means is that this type of perfection, the perfection, like a, let's say, for instance, Chachma. So Chachma, if a person is interested in Chachma, so it's something which he doesn't have to... if a person is interested in physical objects. So naturally, I have to take it away from somebody else because there is only a certain amount of physical objects to go around. So if you have, by definition, it means I don't have. So therefore, your having stands in the way of my having. By Chachma, it's not so, because by Chachma, the fact that I have Chachma doesn't mean that I took it away from you, you see? And it doesn't mean that you can't have Chachma. I can have Chachma, you could have more Chachma. You see? Yeah, on the contrary, one grows because one chacham helps the others. It's not a physical object. So therefore, it's not something which lends itself to a situation in which you have physical destruction. You see? You understand what I mean? Okay.
Physical protection
from somebody else. Because if there's only a certain amount of food, you see, then physical perfection will will demand that certain situations. Yeah, certain situations. Even beyond survival. I mean, physical perfection requires a certain amount of time, requires a certain amount of money to be able to devote to it. To actual physical perfection, certain requirements.
Mental perfection also, the time to take a...
Mental perfection, you're still dealing in a physical frame, because what you're after is something... You mean to say your own personal physical... your body doesn't take away from somebody else's body, is that what you're saying?
Right.
It's true.
Just like my mind is...
It's true. It doesn't take away either. It's just saying. So basically, yes, one second. So therefore, insofar as, let's understand this, insofar as Chochmah is concerned, if the object that you're after is an intangible, so therefore there is no, it's Olam Eskayim. There's no conflict. He's not discussing the question of physical perfection. You see, he's not discussing it in terms of perfection. He's discussing it in terms of the object that you're after. If the object that a person is after is Chochmah, so then there's no possibility of a if it's the abstract that you're after, then there's no possibility of destructive forces being unleashed, because no limit, right, because you could have as much as you want and it doesn't interfere with what anybody else has. But if it's a physical object, then it does interfere. That's the way it is. You understand what I mean? It's the physical and contradistinction to the abstract. Yeah, that's what it is. It's not discussing perfection of Chochmah. He's discussing the two worlds of conquest. There's conquest in the physical world and there's conquest in the abstract world. The conquest in the abstract world does not introduce any conflict, whereas conquest in the physical world by definition has to introduce conflict, because there's only a certain amount of physical goods. That's been the problem since the world began. Okay now let's understand the second thing. What's the second thing? Second thing is Aveda. Right? Or rather, let's take Gemilas Chasadim first. Okay, we'll come back to Aveda. Gemilas Chasadim. What is Gemilas Chasadim? Alright? That's the difference between Chesed and between Tzedakah. Alright? So Chesed and Tzedakah. The Rambam in the end of the Mura talks about this problem. What's the difference between Chesed and Tzedakah? Let me just read to you what the Rambam says. Rambam says like this. In our commentary on the sayings of the fathers, we have explained the expression chesed as denoting an excess in some moral quality. Alright? It is especially used of extraordinary kindness. Loving kindness is practiced in two ways. First, we show kindness to those who have no claim whatever upon us. Secondly, we are kind to those to whom it is due, in a greater measure than is due to them. Okay, that's chesed. So what is chesed really? What is chesed according to Rambam? Chesed is an excess of a certain perfection. He says it's usually used for loving kindness. The kindness is usually used for. Yeah, but it could be anything. But it could be anything really. It is especially used of extraordinary kindness. It's an excess in some moral quality. That's chesed. All right? What? One second, slowly. Anything's wrong with that. Now, tzedakah. What is tzedakah? Tzedakah is something else the Rambam says. The term tzedakah is derived from tzedek, righteousness. It denotes an act of giving everyone his due and of showing kindness to every being according to as it deserves. All right? Sounds like the same thing, huh? In Scripture, however, the expression tzedakah is not used in the first sense. All right. When we therefore give the hired laborer his wages or pay a debt, we do not perform an act of tzedakah. But we do perform an act of tzedakah when we fulfill those duties towards our fellow men which our moral conscience imposes upon us, e.g., when we heal the wound of the sufferer. Yeah.
Is giving all that?
Two totally different things. One thing has nothing to do with the other. You can have chesed without tzedakah and tzedakah without chesed. Like this. It's a hard one to define. Let's try to take it slowly. You see, when I do chesed to a chaver, right? Chesed to a chaver. There's a difference between doing chesed to a chaver and between giving tzedakah to an ani. That's what comes out of this. What's the difference really between doing chesed to a chaver and tzedakah? Comes out like this. The what? Demands that I act in a certain way towards my chaver. That's what Midas demands, right? Now, chesed is an extension of Midas. It's an extension. I'm acting in an extended fashion. Like the Rambam's second example. I'm supposed to, my justice demands that I help my chaver. I help him. Let's say, for instance, he needs a meal, so he helped me. Just as demands, I help him. But if I extend myself, if I overextend myself in that action, I give him more, then that's chesed. But the quality of the action still remains the same. See, chesed is the overextension. In a relationship, ein adam l'chavero, so it's understood that there are certain guidelines between the relationship. I mean, you help me, I help you. There's certain things are understood. But if I overextend myself in that situation, then that's considered chesed. That's what the Rambam says. That's what chesed is. All right. Now tzedakah is different. However, tzedakah, I'm really unrelated to the ani. No relationship between me and the ani. You see? Oh, but why do I help out the ani? Because. You see, I help out the ani because I perceive that the ani has a right to exist. You see, I perceive the ani has a right to exist. I perceive the ani's right to existence. And since I perceive the ani's right to existence, so therefore, I give him his sustenance. You understand what I mean? That's a different thing than the first case. That's what the Rambam is saying, really. That's descriptively what the Rambam is saying. That's why the Rambam says like this. Tzedakah, kindness, prompted by a certain moral conscience in man. See? It's a certain moral conscience in man tells him that he has to help out the unfortunate, the ani. That's what. But when a person helps his chaver, it's not because of a moral conscience. It's because he recognizes that he has to act a certain way towards his chaver. Right? But the only thing is that...
Wasn't that a moral conscience?
Nah, it's conscience. You know what I mean? It's the... You see, it's, what? Do you conscientious? Davin is also conscious. But it's not the essential feature. Now, just a second. Be very nice with you. Fine. What is the motivating force by tzedakah? What prompts me to give tzedakah? What prompts me to give stuck is the recognition that this situation cannot occur. The ani, I cannot permit the ani to live this way. The situation, it's a recognition of the fact that this situation must be changed. When I do chesed to a chaver, it's not that the situation demands that it be changed. I mean, so if he doesn't have so why do I have to go out of my way to go get him this extra thing? It's not the situation. The chaver isn't in dire need. You understand what I mean? It's an extension of a certain mida of kindness. I want to express my kindness towards my chaver, so therefore I go out of my way and I do more for him. It's not that his situation demands rectification. You understand what I mean? Like by the ani. By the ani, it's a situation which demands rectification. You understand what I'm saying? But by chesed, it's not the situation which demands rectification. It's my own expression of chesed. My own expression of kindness, which I'm carrying out to a further degree. You see? I go, I'm a thoughtful person. So I know my chavrin likes to read the paper, so I'm passing by the store, so I pick up a paper for him. That's chesed. Right? What does that mean? It means that I recognize that my chava cannot have a situation in which he doesn't have a paper. It's absurd. You see? The idea is that I express a certain kindness towards him. You understand what I mean? And because of that, I go out of my way. So I'm passing the store anyway. So I say, look, maybe you want a paper. I'll go pick up one for him. You see? But it's not the situation which is the prime mover in this case. Whereas by tzedakah, it's not an expression. It's not that it's just the honor. It's different. It's not that I want to express kindness towards him. It's the fact. It's the recognition that this situation is intolerable. It's the intolerability of the situation that prompts me to help out the ani. You understand what I mean? It's two different things. That's kindness that I have towards my chaver. I have an expression of kindness. If that's the way I relate to him. I mean, we can't relate together unless there's certain feelings, certain filial feelings. Now these feelings, when they're extended, that's chesed. That's chesed. Okay? With the ani, I don't have any feelings to the ani. I have no feelings towards the ani. I have no feelings towards the ani. I have any feelings towards him. No! I don't know him. I don't know the ani. The ani is an unknown individual to me. There are no feelings that I have towards the ani inherently. I have feelings towards my chaver, but I don't have feelings towards an ani. I don't know him. So what right does he come into the scene of my life? He comes knocking at the door. What relationship does he have? The answer is, when he comes to the door, what he's saying is, "This is, look at the situation that's going on here. This situation is intolerable, don't you agree?" So if you agree, so then you help him out. That's basically.
Yeah, that's the next question.
You see? That's how the ani relates to you. But your chaver doesn't come to you because the situation is intolerable. He's there already. There's a relationship going on. There's friendship. So there's good feelings between one and another. That's the way it is to begin with. Now, the feelings that you have towards him, that's considered chesed. Okay? Alright. But tzedakah is not chesed. Tzedakah is, there's a certain moral conscience in man. Now, this conscience in man does not tolerate him seeing a certain scene and walking away. That's what tzedakah is. You can't take it. People can't take it. Why do they show you? They show you these different diseases. That they always show you like a crippled child in a wheelchair. You see? So they'll show you. What are they saying? They're saying, are you letting this situation exist? You don't know this child. But do you let the situation, how can you allow a child to be like this? See? That's basically what they're saying. That's Dukkha. That's
Dukkha.
No, that's how it works. That's how it works. Are you, as a human being, are you going to sit back and allow this to take place? Well, they'll show you starving children in Africa. So that's the same thing. How could you allow? You're a human being. You can't allow this to exist. See? That's not chesed. That's not chesed. Chesed is where there's a relationship, an existing relationship. This child's unrelated to you. Chesed is where there's an existing relationship between you and somebody else. And you have a relationship of friendship. And now what you do is you overextend yourself. What relates you to him is the conscience of man. Okay? That's the difference between chesed and between tzedakah. Alright? Okay. The world of Shlosh Dvarim Olam Haskayim, Teravot of Gemilas Chasodim. Right? Gemilas Chasodim. Okay. Now it comes out that Gemilas Chasodim is more important than tzedakah. Right? Yeah. To recognize in this mimer that Rashi's pointing out here very carefully. Rashi's pointing out in the Rambam. Fortunately, we have the Rambam in the Mirah that at the end of the Mirah that explains a little bit, gives us some approach to differentiate between these two. That they're two separate institutions. Okay? So now which one would you say is more important? Two separate institutions. Stock is more important. Okay. The Chazal said no. Chazal said Gemilas Chasam is more important. Ches is more important. Chetz is more important for Kiyum Olam. Alright? For Kiyum Olam it's more important. What? It's not a question. Rashi means like this. That Malva Ma'isav La'ani. What does Malva Ma'isav La'ani mean? We ask the question. We say, so why should you give him tzedakah? You should just lend the money. I mean, you get it back. Right? Yeah, the answer is, what's the answer? There's two ways to relate to the ani. Yeah, there's two ways. By Malva Ma'isav La'ani is a different relationship between you and the ani. Malva halvor really is chesed. Halvor means that you sense a universal relationship between you and between the malva and between the leiva. You're not going to lend money to somebody you don't know. It's ridiculous. So there's a relationship between the two. Malva ma'isav la'ani means that you recognize a relationship there. You see? Now,
Halvor really is an expression of the relationship. Look, if I need money, you'll lend me. You need money, I'll lend you. That's the halvor really is only a part of the relationship. By halvor, it's not the pshat. When a person comes and asks for a loan, it's not the pshat that you're saying the situation is intolerable. You see? Because the raya, a person gets your loan in order to go into business. He wants to extend his business. It's intolerable. Let him keep his job. You see? Who tells him to go into business? Havor has nothing to do with an intolerable situation. Havor is merely an expression of human relations. The relationship that exists between you and somebody else. You see, now it's interesting. There's a chiv that a relationship should be extended to a tremendous degree. But it's interesting, by Havor, the halacha is, by Havor, Havor is not just for a close friend, you see. Yeah, because everybody, Kol Echad Mi Yisrael, really, has a certain relationship. Okay? But tzedakah, in tzedakah, there is no relationship. Tzedakah is not an acting out of a relationship, see? Tzedakah is just the intolerable situation. Now, let's take a look at what Chazal say. Mavo Esav Le'oni. Lefishu Godel Me'at Zdaka. He said, Lefish Einam Is Bayish. What does it mean, Lefish Einam Is Bayish? Why is Einam Is Bayish? Why is the Oni Mis Bayish when he gets Zdaka, and why is the Leiva not Mis Bayish? What's the answer? Because Halvor is just an expression of one part of a relationship. Why should I be embarrassed? You're lending me money? Yeah, but that's isn't that based upon the relationship that we have? If you need money, I'll lend you money. I mean, so now it's my turn to, now the situation is such that the relationship is being expressed in this way, but it's part of an ongoing relationship. You see? Tzedakah is misbayish. Why is tzedakah misbayish? Because, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now my situation is so terrible that I demand that you give me matnas chinam. You see, there's no relationship here. It's just that you, because you cannot tolerate seeing me existing this way, so that's why you have to give me something. That's misbayish. This is misbayish. We're not on equal footing here. I'm an unfortunate, you see. And you, because of the goodness of your heart, you can't tolerate unfortunate situations, so you give me something. That's degrading. You see. Now, the Gemilas Chasarim Noeg Bein Ba'ashir and Bein Ba'aniyim. The Gemilas Chasarim is by everybody. Anyone you have a relationship with. Okay? Now, that's why you have the Pasuk. V'cheinu Oimer, Rashi says, V'chesed Hashem Me'olam Adol Me'reyev Kiamati Oilam Chesed Yibona. V'lau Ametcha She'b'shvil HaChesed Oilam Eskayim. B'shvil HaChesed Oilam Eskayim. So the Kiyam Oilam is dependent upon Chesed. To a greater degree than tzedakah. Why is the Gemara say it's dependent upon chesed? What's the answer? What's the pshat? You see that there are two relations. There are two ways that man can act well, act out goodness towards another, either from the framework of tzedakah, or else from the framework of chesed. Now you might think that the framework of tzedakah is superior, because here you're not—it's not an ongoing relationship. On the contrary, you're giving it away, goodbye. No, the kiyum olam is more dependent, Chazal say, on chesed than it is on tzedakah. Oh yeah, why? Because there are two reasons. First of all, the institution of tzedakah. Two basic reasons. First of all, the institution of tzedakah is a limited one. Number one. So in the overall social situation, it's limited. But it's only limited to the unfortunate. You see? And when you're speaking about the overall social situation, you have to include the most prevalent, because the society really is an expression of that which is most prevalent in the society, in general overview of the social situation. So therefore, number one, the limitation is why it is not as great a factor in Kiyum Olam. And number two, there is a detraction. There's a certain detraction in tzedakah. What is the distraction? What is the detraction in tzedakah? That the Aniism is bayish. See? The Aniism is bayish is a detraction. You see, in Chesed is a mutuality. And what builds a society is the mutuality. That's what builds a society, when there's a mutuality in the relationship. That's what builds it. But if it's a one-sided thing and he walks away with bad feelings because he's embarrassed, you see? And because you know he's embarrassed, so therefore there's no relation. So on the contrary, so it's true, it can't exist, and it's a tremendous mitzvah. This is not saying which is the bigger mitzvah, by the way. This is saying which is more important for Kiyum Olam. It's a different thing altogether. Okay? So for Kiyum Olam is one, this is a different, certain specific frame of reference that we're speaking, that Shimon HaTzadik is talking about. He's not talking about which is bigger. See? But in the frame of reference of Kiyum Olam, which means Tikkun HaOlam al Derech HaSholem, that have the best possible social order, more important than Tzedakah is, an interesting thing, because I'll say more important than Tzedakah is Gemilas Chesed. Because Gemilas Chesed is the most prevalent in everyday human relations. You see, so that's what builds the society. It's constant every day. Tzedakah is limited to an Inyan, that's it. Outside an Inyan, it's limited. There's nothing you can't do anymore. And also, and in even in the Aniyam, there's a detraction. Because of the nature of the institution of Tzedakah, there's an inherent attraction. And that's why it doesn't build a society to as great a degree as Chesed. It's interesting. That's what Rashi means. Okay. All right. The fact that it says Teshuvah, Tefillah, Tzedakah is Mafirin as Reag Zera, and it doesn't say Teshuvah, Tefillah, and Chesed is Mafirin Reag Zera. If Chesed is better, that's the question. Question is, if Chesed is better, so why doesn't it say Tshuva Tefillah Chesed Mavirin Esrei? Hey, why doesn't it say Gemilas Chasadim Chesed Tatzel Mavavas? What's the answer? The answer is because
in terms of personal perfection, that stuck is a greater one.
When it comes to, they're two different things. We're not saying which one's bigger. If you speak in terms of Kiyum HaOlam, in terms of the society, more important is Chesed than Tzedakah. It's more important. See? But if you're speaking in terms of a specific situation of personal perfection, you see, then Tzedakah is greater. Because the Tzedakah is greater, Tzedakah Tatsumovas and Tshuva Tefillah Tzedakah Mavirin Esrei Agzera, because Tzedakah is greater because it's more of a recognition of an objective external situation, external good, which is objective. In Chesed, it's still a relationship. I'm still involved in the relationship. You see? Chesed is a little easier. Tzedakah is where you have to recognize, real tzedakah, you have to be able to recognize objectively the situation, and you have no shaykhus of situation. It's just, I have to recognize I must do this. So really, tzedakah, in that sense, tzedakah is a greater perfection in terms of his personal perfection. It's a harder thing to do, much harder thing to do. Chesed is easier to do than tzedakah. In Chesed, there's a return, there's an ongoing relationship. He does chesed for me, I do chesed for him. It's easier. In tzedakah, it's totally the recognition of an objective external situation which must be corrected. Moral conscience, like the Rambam says. Now that's a more difficult thing, you see? So in terms of Kiyum HaOlam, greater is chesed. But in terms of tatzel mimavas, it's tshuva tefillah tzedakah, not tshuva tefillah chesed. Okay? Alright. There's another chiluk that Rashi brings down, that tzedakah is b'mamaynai, and chesed is bein begufay bein b'mamaynai. What does that mean? See, that's another thing. That's again showing the tikkun olam, showing the fact that tzedakah is limited. It's limited another way. It's limited. First of all, it's limited by virtue of to whom it applies. Secondly, it's limited by virtue of its expression, of the nature of its expression. You see, by tzedakah, the expression of tzedakah is limited to money. What does it mean it's limited to money? A person will ask me to do him an ani needs something. So it's true, I might go, let's say for instance, I might go to somebody else and raise the money. So you'll tell me that's begufai. No, it's not, because if I had the money, I wouldn't have to go to that other fellow. See, tzedakah could be removed, could be accomplished totally with money. If you have enough money, you can take care of tzedakah. That's it. Take care of tzedakah. You don't have to move from your chair, just write out the check and that's it. You see? But chesed, you can't. Chesed is more inclusive. In chesed, if, let's say somebody doesn't look favorably, you're upset that somebody thinks something about you. Not that he doesn't think you're such a great guy. So if I'll go and I'll speak to him, you see, I could change his mind. That's chesed. That's begufay. Money wouldn't do the job. If an ani comes over to me and says to me, look, the fellow down the block doesn't have a high opinion of me. Is that tzedakah if I go? That's not tzedakah. It's not tzedakah. If I want to be nice here, that's chesed. That has nothing to do. Tzedakah could be taken care of totally with money. But chesed is all-inclusive. So chesed is all-inclusive in terms of the performance of the individuals. It's a constant in their performance also. That's why it's also more important for the society, you see? It's another reason why. Okay. We did Gemilas Chasadim, right?
Yeah.
A motivating force. We said last week the motivating force in Gemilas Chasadim is the relationship. The relationship in Irma Havera. And Gemilas Chasadim is the extension of the relationship. Whereas tzedakah has nothing to do with a relationship. Tzedakah is where I just cannot tolerate the situation. Like the Rambam says, it's a... my conscience doesn't permit me to allow something like this to occur. That's tzedakah. I see a person, a poor man, I can't allow him to exist in such a fashion. I have to help him out. I mean, I can't allow him to be unclothed, not to have food, so I can't tolerate such conditions. That's tzedakah. But gemilas chasadim is not that I can't tolerate my friend doesn't have the newspaper. It's not that the situation is intolerable. It's just an extension of the relationship of bein adam lachaverah. That's gemilas chasadim. That's how the Rambam differentiates. That's a Chazal and Rashi also seem to have the same differentiation. So the Gemara says that gemilas chasadim is more important than tzedakah. It's more important than tzedakah for several reasons, we said. More important in terms of kiyum olam. It's more important because it's more prevalent in terms of the existence of the world, the society. You have to have gemilas chasadim is more prevalent. It's aniyim and ashirim, whereas tzedakah is only for aniyim. And also, it's also more prevalent in terms of performance. It includes not just money, but includes the performance of a person, physical performance also. Tzedakah doesn't. Tzedakah you can take care of with money. That's all you need. All you need to take care of tzedakah is money. All right. You can assign somebody else to do everything else. If you have money, you can pay him. You can take care of it. That's the difference, essentially, between gemilas chasadim and tzedakah. All right?
What else?
So in order to have the society, the fabric of society is more dependent upon what? Upon gemilas chasadim, because gemilas chasadim really permeates the entire fabric of society, whereas tzedakah, as important as it is, it only relates to a specific situation, an intolerable situation. So therefore, gemilas chasadim is more important in terms of the... of having the most perfect, of bringing about the most perfect society. That's not to say which one is a greater performance on the part of the one who does the mitzvah. You see, like it says, tzedakah tatzim b'mavas, tshuva tefillah tzedakah mavirin esrei achzera. That's a different thing. That's a different thing altogether. Tzedakah might be harder to do. Might be harder to do tzedakah than gemilas chasadim. We're not saying which one is harder, which one is better for in terms of individual human perfection as a performance. We're speaking in terms of the effect on society. The effect on society, gemilas chasadim is greater. That's what Chazal say. Okay, that's Rashi. That's the Rambam. Okay. So we can understand why it says olam oimed. All right. Now the next thing we're working our way backwards. There's three things: Torah, avoda, and gemilas chasadim. Now we're up to avoda. Alright? What is avoda? What is meant by avoda? What does Rashi say, avoda? Val avoda shall base on migdash, kemashim atzinu betainis. Il molim amodas le niskaimu shemayim v'oretz. Vachainu yikairim b'maisa bereshis kol yimei ha-shevua. Alright? So my amodas is for kabonis. Avoda shall base on migdash. That's what Rashi says. The Rambam expresses himself a little bit unclearly here. Ubishmiris Ramza Ubishmiris Mitzvah Satera Hema Karbonis. It's a little bit equivocal. What do you mean Bishmiris Mitzvah Satera Hema Karbonis? Either Shmiris Mitzvah Satera. Shmiris Mitzvah Satera is all inclusive. The Rambam takes Avoda to mean in the entire. It would seem at first that the Rambam says Avoda means everything, means Shmiris Mitzvah Satera. Entirely, the whole class of mitzvahs. And then he says, "Hey, ma karbonis." Funny formulation, funny phraseology here. What do you mean, "Hey, ma karbonis"? That's the only mitzvah in the Torah, karbonis, and many other mitzvahs. What about tefillin, mezuzah, tzitzis, hundreds of mitzvahs there. All right. Why does he? Why only karbonis? Why does he ask like karbonis? The Rambam, we don't understand what the Rambam means when he says this. It's like as if he's saying it's two different things at the same time. It's either it's mitzvah of Torah or it's karbonis. Karbonis is a class of species under the genus of mitzvah Torah. It's a class of mitzvahs. Okay. Let's leave this area for a moment and let's go to what Karbonis is. There's a famous Ramban on Karbonis in the Chumash. Let's take that Ramban. Okay? All right, let's take a look at the Ramban. Interesting Ramban. Ramban is Vayikra Aleph Tes, Pasuk Tes. So Ramban says, Eilo, Pasuk Tes, Vayikra, Vayikta Yakonis Akonis, Becho, Eilo Yishay Reich Nichol Ler Hashem. Okay. Now Ramban says like this. Ramban says, V'oma HaRav, a few lines down Ramban, V'oma HaRav B'mara Nevuchim, Kitam HaKabonis, what's the reason for the Kabonis? He says, Pavosh HaMitzrim V'akazdim, Ashaho Yisrael Goyim V'say Shovim Ba'atzom. All right, the Egyptians, the Chaldeans, were the Jews living there in their lands. They worshipped the cattle and the sheep, because the Mitzrim served the Aries, Mazel Tleh, and the Kazdim worship Shadim. Well, whatever it is, Shir Lem B'dmus Seirim, looks like appears to them as goats. What exactly? I mean, whatever. All right. So it says V'anshe Haidu. And the people of India, Arayim la yishchatu bakar la'olam. They don't. This, to this day, they don't kill cattle. He says not supposed to. Yeah, that's the Indians. I think even today they have that, right? They didn't really change too much over the years. Haven't advanced too far. Okay, so he says, "Okay, tziva lishchait elash leshem minim l'shem." That's why God commanded that these three species should be sacrificed to God. L'shem anichbat, k'day shi'yivoda, in order that it should be known, ki adovar shehoyu choshrim, ki heim besachvas harvoda, hu ashekiriva labore. That which they think they should use for worship, that's what you should sacrifice to God. Ubo yiskapro avonos. And with these sins, through this, the sins should be forgiven. He says, ki chen yisrapro hamunos haros, shehim madvei anefesh. That's the way to cure the sickness of the soul. Because the only way to cure something, the Rambam Sheet is to break the emotion, is to go to the opposite extreme. When you go to the opposite extreme, you lose your attachment to the emotion. That's the Rambam's method. Okay? Ubohem Herech. Elidvor Ubohem Herech. These are the words of the Rambam, and he was very lengthy in explaining this in his explanation. Now the Ramban says, "Vehine heim divrei avoy," and this is all these words are nonsense. Yirfu shever godo, the kushir rabon nikla. They'll make a big break, and yasu shulchan shem maguol sheinen erak lahotzi miliban shorashoyim v'tip sheolam. It makes the shulchan Hashem. It means the mizbeach. It makes it the magua, means despised. Why? Because it comes out that the only purpose is for these kabbonis is in order to remove the ideas of the wicked. In order to be most. Alright, the tip shell. Vakosav amar kihim lechem ish l'reich nicharach. He says, and the pasuk says that this is a lechem ish l'reich nicharach. And according to this, the whole purpose of the Kabbalah is just to remove the foolish ideas, nonsensical ideas of different people. So it makes the purpose of the Kabbalah something very small, very demeans the whole idea of Kabbalah. Alright? Okay, that's what the Ramban is in Ramban. Now, the Pasuk says, Kihem Lechem Yishirech Nichach L'Hashem. The Gam, he says, and the Ramban continues, says, V'gam Lefish Tusam Shal Mitzrim Lo Tisrape Mecholosam. Mecholosam Bazeh. Because he says, even according to their stupidity, you really won't. It's really not a cure. He says, "Avol taisiv machle." It's going to make it even worse. He says, "Kilafish tusam shel mitzrim." Because according to the foolishness of the Egyptians, "Lo tisrape machalasim baze." You're not going to cure them with this. "Avol taisiv machle." It's going to make it even worse. "Ki machsheves harashayim aniskarim." Because the idea of these wicked people is lavoy lemazel tleil mazel shor. Because they believe that you're supposed to worship these things, because these things have certain powers. They will never eat these things in order to sustain themselves. He says, but if you use it to worship God, on the contrary. That's what they believe, that it should be used in the sacrifice and religious worship. You see? And they themselves, that's what they do. Like the pasuk says, you see, va'osei ha'egel yizbuchu lo. Va'rav maski shehoyu makrivim la'lavona b'chol roshei chadajichat shehem. And the Rambam says that they used to sacrifice to the moon every beginning of every month. V'la shemesh ba'aloysa b'mazolais. When the sun is behind the backdrop of these constellations. How you doing, Rambam Sifrayim? V'yoset esrafei ha'machlo b'ochleinu mehem l'seva. He says, really, the best way would be to eat for your own health, to eat these animals, not to sacrifice them, because sacrificing, you're falling into the same trap that they were in. You see, they use these animals for sacrifice. So how's the Torah removing how's the Torah curing the illness? By telling us to use these animals for sacrifice, worship God. But that's the whole idea, they use these animals for worship. Sacrifice. Alright? Okay, good. But so the best thing would be that we should eat these things in order to sustain ourselves. So, but that's also Shu Asalahem. Umagunabainam. Falayasakin Loilam. Alright? So he says, that's, if you really want to break the emotion, so what you should do is take these animals, kill them and eat them, shech them and eat them. Okay. Now, then he has a few more kashas. He says, when Noach came out of the teva with his three sons, Ein Boilam Kazdi Amitri, there wasn't no Egyptians there, or Chaldeans, and Hikriv Karbon, Vayitav Beni Hashem, Voma Bovioch Hashem Esriach Anichalach. It's better to listen to the reason that is said, because man's actions have three made up of three components: thought, speech, and action. Should put his hands on it, the action. The Yisrof Ba'esha Kerva Kloya Shein Kloya Machshava, because the kidneys is considered the Kloya Machshava. Chayke Beichin Kloya Is Valev, because the kidneys in the heart is considered the essence of the physical parts that they represent the person's emotions. All right, now. Shehem klei machshava v'ataiva. Yeah. Yizrek adom al hamizbeach k'neged domi b'nafshe. K'dei sheyachshev adom ba'aseisei kolel. A person should think when he does all these things. K'chotel elekov b'gufoi u'b'nafshoi. V'roi loy sheyishofech domoi. V'yisorev gufoi. Lulei chesed aboreh shelokach mimenu t'mura. V'kaporas akorb nazeh sheyehei domoi tachas domoi nefesh tachas nefesh. The Rashi Avery a carbon connected Rashi Avorov, Vamona Islachis Behen Maria Terra, she is Palo Lo, she is Palo Alov. Okay, the carbon atomid, Bavushla Inutsla Rab Mechatai Tomid. People always sin, so you have to have a carbon atomid. The Elo Dvar Meskabla, Meshkam Alev, the Divri Agada. Alright, these are the things that that make sense. And then he goes, well, Derech Hamas, he goes into the site. Okay, he goes off into one of the sites. Okay. That's the Ramban. So how does the Ramban define carbon? What is the definition of carbon according to Ramban? Not like the Ramban. According to Ramban, what's the definition of carbon? What?
What
is the carbon? Tshuva. That's what it is. It's tshuva. Domoi tachas domoi. Nafshei tachas nafshei. That's what the Ramban says. That's what Ramban says. Nefesh domai tachas domai. Nefesh tachas nefesh. Rosh Avra Korban Keneged Rosh Avarav. Okay? So, summarize the Ramban, the whole Ramban. What is Korban really? Korban is tshuva. That's what Korban is. Korban is tshuva. Because there's an identification between the individual and between the behemoth, and between the animal. And this is so. I know people that go to a slaughterhouse, when they see the animals killed, it's very disturbing. Very disturbing. Because why is it disturbing? We mentioned it several times. Because a person's rachmonis comes into play through the process of identification. Through the process of identification. So there is a basic identification between a person has between himself and between the animal. So through the korban, and the process of identification, he recognizes his chait, and he realizes that this terrible thing which is being done to the behemoth should be done to him. And through that, it brings about his perfection by his recognition of his evil state and what he deserves, and it's a means in the process of tshuva. That's what the Ramban says. That's what the Ramban says. Okay. Kapar. Next one, Kapar. That's the idea. It's a danger. That's why you had a machlekes or shenim, really. All machlekes, whether you should have kaparas or not, whether you should look kaparas or not. Because people tend to think that this is the scapegoat. You know, this takes care of it, and I don't have to worry about it. No. Yeah, with us, there's no such thing. With us, it's a halacha of... It means that he should recognize that this is what he deserves. This is what he deserves. And it should bring about... Yeah, not that this animal is going to take anything and remove anything from him. The animal can't help him. But the process should be an awakening and an awareness of the fact that this is really what he deserves. But God is kind to him, and God allows him. God doesn't want his actual death, but God wants his realization that he was a chayte. Part of the process of tshuva is the recognition of the severity of his chayte. See, if he doesn't recognize what the severity of the chayte is, then the tshuva is incomplete. A lot of times a person can be a shav, but he doesn't recognize how severe it is. So the process of the karbonis was something which made him aware. Gave him an awareness of the severity of his crime, you see, and it was that's why the behemoth was used. That's what the Ramban says. Okay, all right. So according to the Ramban, let's go back then. According to the Ramban, that's the basic pshat in Kabbalah. According to the Ramban, so how we explain ala tera v'ala avoda, the ala avoda v'al gemilas kasadim. What does mean v'ala avoda? V'hal avoda means the ability of man to be a shav. So means like this, that the second component that is necessary for kiyum ha'olam, the second component that the Tana mentions necessary for kiyum ha'olam is what? Is the ability of man to stop in his tracks, even though he's involved in evil, but he has a certain ability to stop in his tracks. A certain component of his nature is able to overpower him at a certain time and tell him to stop and reevaluate his actions and to do tshuva, to be a shav. I mean, tshuva is not just something which is done on Yom Kippur Rosh Hashanah. Tshuva is something which is a part of the process of change which a person undergoes throughout his life. Constant process. It's a constant process all the time. Person has to always be shav, always be doing tshuva, because perfection means a person. When a person comes to the world, as he develops, his instincts develop, and his instincts attach themselves to certain things. His actions follow his instincts. Now, the process which he must undergo constantly is a removal of his emotions from these instinctual harmful forces. How is it done? It's not so easy because the instincts have a head start on him. And his actions are usually follow the instincts. But he has the ability to stop. He can become overpowered, but he has the ability to stop, like by David HaMelech. Did a chait, pascheva, but then he was able to recognize, chatasi l'Hashem, stop, reevaluate the action, and to perfect himself. Without that ability, then man's life would be worthless. You see, it would be worthless. Right. Worthless. That's why that's a avodah according to the Ramban. It's a part of the daily process, really. Tshuva is a daily thing. Tshuva is a daily process. And he has to always every three times a day, tshuva. Three times a day, a person does tshuva. Has to do tshuva. See, tshuva is part of it's part of the process of growth of an individual. Without that process, he couldn't budge from the spot. So that's why you see. That's why avodah is one of the three components, an important component. That's the way the Ramban learns. All right. That's the way the Ramban learns. That's Rashi. That's why the Gemara says that Umolei. Because without that, there's no purpose for man's existence. If the process of tshuva, you don't have a process of tshuva, you can't exist. There's no purpose. Man cannot perfect himself in any way. Okay. Tshuva, the karbonis is tshuva, like the Ramban says, karbonis, karbon tamid. The karbonis, the makriv, is because people always hate them. So you used to have the maimodis. The maimodis was for, because you have to have klal yisro. Maimodis represents all klal yisro being aimed ala carbon. The one says you can't have a carbon without the bilim being related to it. Where's the bilim? So the bilim is klal yisro. So the maimodis was set up in order to represent klal yisro. But the idea of avodah is, tshuva. Tshuva, constant tshuva. Yeah. Every carbon is tshuva. That's what Ramban says. Every doma itachas doma, yeah, every carbon. Okay. Because the avodah is the objectification of tshuva. That's tshuva in the highest form. That's the objectification of tshuva. Without that, it's the real tshuva is the total realization. Total realization is brought about through karbanis. All right, that's good. Okay. The Ramban's pshat fits in very nicely with the Rashi. And so Rashi says avodah means karbanis per se. Why is the world kayam on karbonis? The world is kayam on karbonis because of the fact that what? That karbonis is tshuva. Karbonis. Now, b'zman hazeh, so somebody else has done b'zman hazeh, we don't have any karbonis anymore. What's the answer? The answer is not true. B'zman hazeh, we have karbonis. Where the karbonis b'zman hazeh? Karbonis b'zman hazeh is in tefillah, tefillah some mosafim, but besides mosafim, you say karbonis every day. When you say karbonis every day, the Gemara says that a person who learns hilchus chatas is kilu hikriv chatas. And halacha is brought down that if a person, for instance, is brought down the halacha, if there's a fire in a person's house on Shabbos, a fire in a person's house, so you're not allowed to, there's a whole question. Well, b'zman hazeh, you're allowed to put out the fire if there's a fire in your house. Because there's a danger of sakanas nefashos, the fire might spread to different houses. If there's a danger of sakanas nefashos, you're mechuyev to put out the fire. But you're only allowed to do it, and Allah al-Khatkhila, if you can do it, the Akshin is even better. But you're only allowed to do it because of sakanas nefashos. But what if a person did malachis? Let's say a person, his house was burning up and he had tremendous, a lot of valuable property there. So a person could get himself lost for a moment and decide to save things and be over the rices. Be over from Shasiyah for Shasarabim. Or if he puts on a lamp, a light, and he, in order to find his valuables. So if he forgot himself, lost himself momentarily, and he did that on Shabbos, so the halacha is brought down that he should fast for 40 days. That's what the halacha 40 days is. He should fast for 40 days after that if he did that. B'shege, amazing, it wouldn't help him. B'shege, he got lost himself. B'shege, forgot, did a b'shege. So, and then it's brought down also that he should give yud ches pshitim, 18 pshitim he should give to tzedakah. What's the 18 pshitim? Why 18? Not because of Chai. That's maybe where Chai came from, but that's not why Chai. Pshitim is money. Why 18 pieces of 18 coins, whatever the coins were? The answer is because 18 coins was the amount that you could buy the smallest sheep, the smallest behemoth for a korban chatas. You see? So the halacha is really, it's supposed to represent bringing korban chatas. And the Acharonim mentioned that he should learn through the whole Seder of Akravas HaChatas. Because by learning through the Seder of Akravas HaChatas, it's Ke'ilu Hikriv. Neshama Parim Sfaseinu. It's a Pasuk. Neshama Parim Sfaseinu. So Karbonis are not bottled. Karbonis exist Bizman Hazeh. Same thing. It's not a, of course, you don't have any more you don't have the benefit of the Maisa, which is certainly a benefit for an individual to bring out the awareness to a greater degree, but Kabbonis themselves exist as manas as well. And that's, of course, otherwise it has to exist as manas. See, the world's existing has to be Kabbonis. Okay, that's the way Rashi learns. That's according to Rashi. That's what Avodah is according to Rashi, according to Ramban. Alright? Now, it would be nice if we could explain the Ramban a little bit. It would be nice if we explain the Ramban. Yeah. Even though the Ramban didn't explain the why those specific animals, the Ramban himself in the Mora gives other reasons why those specific animals. They're available, readily available, the different reasons why these particular animals. Okay. At any rate, it would be nice if we explain the Rambam, and especially the kasha that the Ramban asks on the Rambam. I don't mean the kasha from Noach. I don't mean the kasha from Noach. By the way, the thing from Noach we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, what the pshat is, Vayorach HaRashem Esreach HaNichayach. Because Korban, we said, Korban reflects the idea of recognition. We explained differently, a little bit differently. Not tshuva, but also basically tshuva also. That's why by Noach, recognition of an external reality, a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, kash from Noach. I'm not going to answer according to what the Ramban's kash from Noach. But let's understand the other kasha the Ramban is a very powerful kasha. Yes, the kasha and the Rambam. On the contrary, the Rambam says that it's in order to remove the disease of the soul of superstition. So, on the contrary, by being makriv, that doesn't help. It's, you're playing right into their game. Let's see. We got a Mora here. Actually, what the Ramban quoted from the Mora is two parts to the Mora, where the Mora mentions Kabbonis. The Ramban quoted from a second part further on. Yeah, where the Ramban quoted is in the Mora Nevuchim, it's chapter 46. You see? He quoted like this. Scripture tells us, according to the version of Uncleus, that the Egyptians worshipped Ares and therefore abstained from killing sheep and held shepherds in contempt. Alright? Behold, we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. Alright? Then he goes on. This worship was widespread. Some sects among the Sabians worshipped demons and imagined that these assumed the form of goats and called them therefore goats. This worship was widespread. And they shall no more offer the sacrifice unto demons, after whom they have gone a-whoring. For this reason, those sects abstain from eating goat's flesh. Most idolaters objected to killing cattle. Their sins. You see? In this matter, evil principles, the disease of the human soul, are cured by other principles which are diametrically opposite. It is also the reason why we are commanded to kill a lamb on Passover, to sprinkle the blood thereof outside of the gates. We had to free ourselves of evil doctrines and to proclaim the opposite, viz., that the very act which was then considered as being the cause of death would be the cause of deliverance from death. Compare, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. If they were rewarded for performing openly a service, every part of which was objected to by the idolaters. All right? That's where the Ramban was quoting from the Rambam. Alright? V'lo yizba, they shall no more offer the sacrifice unto demons after whom they have gone a-whoring. Which means that, it's a funny thing, because the Rambam quotes the same pasuk. The same exact pasuk is quoted by the Rambam. And the Ramban says that that's the case, that they shouldn't sacrifice them altogether. Okay. The Rambam has another pasuk. The first pasuk says, "Behein yizbuchu v'stovas minitzrayim le'inayim v'lo yiskalunu." That would seem to be the other way. We'll see. We'll get back to that in a while. But there's another place that the Ramban left out from the Mora Nevuchim about Kabbonis. That's the place I want to go to. All right. That place is really in chapter 32, part 3. The Rambam says like this. The Rambam talks about how the nerves and the limbs, God created the limbs and the nervous system, and how in order to show, so like in a similar manner did God provide for each individual animal of the class of mammalia. When such an animal is born, it is extremely tender and cannot be fed with dry food. Therefore, breasts were provided which yield milk, and the young can be fed with moist food, which corresponds to the condition of the limbs of the animal until the latter have gradually become dry and hard. In other words, he means that there is in nature an introductory period. An introductory period in which the animal cannot perform according to its intended way, its final development, the way it will perform when it's finally developed, but it has a temporary state. In nature, there are temporary states. That's what the Rambam's saying. Now, he says like this. Many precepts in our law are the result of a similar course adopted by the same supreme being. It is namely impossible to go suddenly from one extreme to the other. All right, this is the Rambam, part 3, chapter 32. No need to record the rest. A religious person was considered someone who in those days, he says, was devoted to the service in the temples which was erected to the stars. That's why Avraham Avinu, the Rambam mentions, was not considered in his society a religious person. He's considered a non-religious person. Because he said that he denied the value of the religious practices that they were doing at that time. Okay. Yeah, the Rambam argues with the Ramban's idea of Mashiach, because the Rambam says that it has never been the will of God to change man's nature, and it never will be. Okay? If it were a part of his will to change the nature of any person, the mission of prophets and the giving of the law would have been altogether superfluous. Yeah, the Ramban says that eventually man's nature will change, that man will only want to do good. But the Rambam says that such a thing will never happen. Okay. At any rate. Okay? What? Well, reasons, because it's a different idea of Olam Haba, the Rambam and the Ramban. Okay. At any rate, he says, whilst Rambam says tefillah is indispensable for perfection, but karbonos are not indispensable.
Really?
Okay, not inherently indispensable. Then we have the problem with the Rambam that the Ramban raises. What's the problem with the Rambam the Ramban raises? He says, how are you curing the disease? Because what you're doing is, on the contrary, you're playing into the hands, because that's the way they worship. So now you're worshiping the same way. Yeah. Okay. It shouldn't be through worship. That's the kasha. It shouldn't be through worship. Okay. Yeah. It's interesting. It's like two different things. It's like the same Ramamon of Achim gives two different things. The first reason he says is what? Is since they worshipped it, so we can't be weaned from it. We have to also worship it. You see? And the second, we also have to worship with these things, because otherwise it would be too much of a change, too quick of a change. That's the first Rambam. What's the second Rambam say? So on the contrary, you have to break the emotion and go the opposite way. It feels like two contradictory things in the Rambam. Yeah, it's not worship. It's a funny thing. I mean, the Rambam has an inherent contradiction. On the one end over here, in chapter 32, he says that what's the reason for the Karbonos? What's the reason for the Karbonos, chapter 32? Because, that's the first one. The one I'm reading right now, the big one. Because, he says, since the Jews were used to this kind of worship, so they have to continue. But instead of them worshiping their gods, they should worship the true God.